I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I know we had a gap there, probably a whole week where I didn't do a show. My schedule got kind of overloaded there, so something had to give for a little while. I apologize that it's been the show. I have a very long clip. I think it's quite interesting. It's Catherine Austin Fitz. And it's her whole take on current events and all the crazy stuff that's going on. So let's sit back a little bit. And then after this, we'll probably get into some might of the thoughts stuff that I've been looking at. So
I'm going to steal me a silver stallion.
I'm going to steal me a silver stallion. When not a mark upon his silky hide.
Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
One day.
One day we'll saddle up and ride.
The problem is evil has saddled up and is now riding. Catherine Austin Fitz is joining us. She was high-level Clinton administration in the Department of Housing, Solari.com. And she is just laying out the reality of the mark of the beast, a gamed economy that uses the inequity it's created to then weaponize poor populations to go destroy communities so the globalists can take control of it. This is scientifically delivered war. This is 21st century evil. So please continue, Catherine. You're just blowing everybody away right now.
I think war is the right word. This is a war. And it's a taking, and it's a global taking, because if you look at you know, it the game changes place to place. But when you shut off the income of half of a society and then print money and basically channel it to another group who's free to go in and take over their businesses and property and make them financially dependent, you know, that's an invasion. It's a debt entrapment. It's a very, very old game, but digital technology has created the capacity to play it to a whole new level. And I think one of the things it says is it speaks to how fragile the system is, Alex, that it would have to do that, because you see tremendous tensions in the dollar system. And of course,
I was about to say, was this done out of hubris and Hitlerian arrogance, or was this done out of desperateness?
So what the patterns I saw in March when we did the lockdown was, it looked to me like, let's step back and let's go through the chronology. The central bankers at their meeting in Jackson Hole in August 2019 approved the going direct reset. And you had a group of former central bankers who have retired and had moved to BlackRock but were working for the Federal Reserve. And you have a special partnership now between the Bank of International Settlements and the Federal Reserve. So they approved the going direct plan. September starts, and the Fed starts intervening in the markets, in the repo markets, but in a process that becomes literally like a quantitative easing. And if you look at that time till now, the Fed has basically pumped out, you know, in a very short period of time, the same amount of money it took years to pump out during the financial crisis in terms of QE. So that's an enormous amount of liquidity that's moving out in the world. And one of the questions is, when you create that kind of liquidity, how do you create, how do you stop hyperinflation from happening? Well, of course, one way you stop it is you shut down Main Street, you know, and then, of course, you move in and pick them up cheap, which is what is happening. So then we roll into
this.
So
this is perfect diagrammed economic warfare. I said I would interrupt, but Catherine, how do we counter this?
Well, the first way you have to counter is that you have to see it. And one of the interesting things is, and one of the positive things is, you're starting to see a significant number of people around the world finally face the fact that we really have this kind of problem. You know, we have a group of people who can kill with impunity. They're using that power as well as very powerful technology to basically take assets and take control and centralize control.
And you just laid out something that's like Isaac Asimov's basic, you know, robot rules. You just said
Right.
First, you must recognize you're under attack. First, you must recognize there's a war. First, you must recognize the reality and start making yourself face those inputs that your brain gave you to defeat it. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so here's the biggest hump we have to get over. Sophia Smallstrom just did a great newsletter describing how the Comanches lost to the European settlers. And she pointed out that their problem was they were defeated by the Europeans' technology. But it wasn't their inability to fight the technology. It was their inability to face the fact that the technology exists. And if you look at the technology that's being used to centralize power and control, that is the most effective, including mind control technology, entrainment technology, you know, or putting nanoparticles into injections that they call medicine. It's not medicine. You know, on and on and on. All the things you've covered on InfoWars. When you look at that technology, most people will not face the fact that, they're up against this kind of technology.
Exactly. They lie to themselves and won't admit they're under attack when they can overcome it.
Right. Exactly. So if you look at all the strategies that could work, and there are many, many strategies that could work, and they change depending on who you are or where you are, but if you look at all the strategies that could work, the first thing you have to face is somebody's trying to centralize control. Somebody's trying to cancel currency and move us into a slavery system and one where they'll have very tight, not only legal and financial control, but literally physical and mental control. And we need to, you know, it's a bizarre and psychopathic vision. And we need to stop it. But you can't even begin to develop strategies if you understand, one, it's true. And two, they have phenomenal technology that is, you know, to many people looks like magic. I'm just looking at that. I'm thinking of the first time I realized that they could engineer a tsunami.
It's incredible. That's declassified as well. So continue. You're laying out total truth here. So I've researched this 15 hours a day. And what you're saying is dead on. And they brag about how they're doing this. So everybody has a scenario to just not fully turn yourself over to it, be aware of it, build systems outside of it. What are some of the ways to counter this?
Step number one is let's turn on the lights. America is like a symphony orchestra that's trying to play in the dark. The first is turn on the lights, stop the secrecy, and start facing the obstacles of the power that we're up against. That's number one. Number two, there are two visions that we're dealing with. The vision of the people who want to centralize political and economic control, their vision is a very hyper-material vision, and they want every human to be connected to and resonate with the machines. My vision is a human vision. I want to be connected to the divine.
Yes.
And I want to resonate with other living beings. So I want a morphogenic field, which is created by living things, you know, together, as opposed to dictated by a central.
We need to value carbon, which they tell us is bad, not silicon.
Right. So here's the hidden secret that I want everybody to understand. If you look at the global economy, and or let's just take the United States. The United States breaks down into 3,100 counties, and if we were allowed to freely optimize the energy and resources in those places in a way that created the most wealth, especially with all the new technology, there's tremendous wealth that can be created. The reason they're going in and raping places with these riots so that they can acquire massive real estate is when you integrate new technology into that real estate, particularly low-priced energy, the wealth creation is incredible. And they don't want to share it with the people who run the little businesses and, you know, on Lake Street.
Exactly. Because everybody wants the mom and pop restaurant or bookstore. They instinctively don't want the big box. This is the big box waging war against our instinctive need for real diversity.
Well, the big box, the number one war that's going on financially that the big box is a part of, you know, right now in America, you have private equity firms going into places like Minneapolis who are basically getting free money from the printing by the central banks. So they have a cost of capital of 0%, and we have a cost of capital. The average cost of capital on our on our credit cards is 16 to 17% if you look at equity. Huge laws have been created and regulations to stop us from being able to pool and circulate equity locally. You know, I could do a whole show on that one.
Come on anytime you want. Don't wait a year to come back. We're going to come right back. Catherine Austin Fitz is on fire. We'll talk about the current war we're under, who's behind it, how we counter it 19 days out. Give us her honest opinion on Trump. I'm not married to Trump. I want to know what she really thinks. Call today.
800.
Picture this consolidation. The maps, the things you've laid out, it's just incredible. Your website, your magazine, Solari.com, it's just so cold-blooded. And I don't just believe you.
Right.
You've been on my show 15 years. I have the documents where we have Antifa documents where they tell them what buildings to attack, what to hit, and then you even show that in your maps. This is all coordinated. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, it's coordinated. And, I would love to see... I would love to do an analysis of the campaign contributions going into the campaigns from the kinds of real estate investors and private equity firms that are interested in doing the opportunity funds. Because the question is, why is law enforcement not shutting these down?
Sure. Well, we hit the break earlier, so spend a few minutes on this. You said, look at that Minneapolis map, and it's all so targeted. And we hit break. I mean, explain to people what we're looking at here.
So in the yellow zones, what you're seeing is an opportunity zone. And an opportunity zone is a zone. It's under federal law. You'll see it at the HUD website, but it's the areas are chosen by the governor and the states. And these are zones where if you reinvest money that you've had a great deal of capital gains on, you can defer and even extinguish your taxes. And it's a way...
And so they targeted those with precision like smart guided bombs.
That's what it looks like to me. That, we're only mapping, where the opportunity zones are and then the riot damage. And if you look at the riot damage within the opportunity zones, it looks to me like a redevelopment plan.
Which is what you did at HUD.
Well... One of the reasons, if you read my online book, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, it's at dylanreedandco.com, or you can do a search. The name of the book is Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. You will see the maps that basically, started my food fight with the federal government, because I mapped the mortgage defaults in South Central L.A. and showed that there was a clear...
Well, you predicted it too, didn't you?
No, when I first found it, I knew there was terrible mortgage fraud because I'd run into it as assistant secretary. And then when our company became the lead financial advisor to HUD, I explored it more and realized there were some very serious and significant patterns, not just of mortgage fraud, but mortgage securities fraud. And...
So this is just like the mafia burns down its restaurant to get insurance. This is on a mass computerized scale.
Well, you're seeing, I think what you were seeing with the, for example, what we showed in the maps of South Central LA, that you were using mortgages and real estate to launder the drug money, but you were levering it with securities fraud. So you literally, I'll never forget finding a property in Chicago that had literally defaulted on its mortgage 5 times in a year. Now, to default that many times in a year, that's an extraordinary thing. And I believe what they were doing is they were just churning them to generate the money they needed to keep the fraudulent securities floating.
Flipping it over and over again.
Right. But what you're seeing is an opportunity in one sense, because if every county in America is willing to sit down and look at how the money works around them and re-engineer the money, so why don't we have local currencies? Why don't we have local stock
markets? You're saying
if
the public gets informed about this, we have power.
Right, and you don't need the whole public. But what you need is you need some leadership within every county and community that says, okay, for 50 years, the local boys have been losing. How do we get back in the game? How do we use new technology to get back in the game? So one of the first things I would do, Alex, this is one of my favorite suggestions, and it came from Bill Binney. He said, if you build encryption into the curriculum of every school in America and you get all the kids in neighborhoods doing homegrown encryption systems, he said, it'll drive them nuts. They can't beat that. They can't beat it. It's too.
Maybe that's a good place to stop. It seems that what Catherine Austin Fitz is saying is that in places like Minneapolis, where we've had the Antifa riots, a lot of the stores that have been looted, the restaurants that have been trashed, are owned by not big companies, but just people like you and me that are trying to make a little money. And part of this tyranny that's taking over the world right now, and Billy calls it a consciousness condition tyranny, because it conditions your mind first. So, you know, they send out Antifa and to riot because of racism, which there's really not that much racism in the United States. But if you pay attention to the mainstream media, then you're going to explode as soon as I say that, because your consciousness has been conditioned. And Gobble of Truth, page 53 of 679, it says, it was in particular the Roman Catholic Church that inherited the practices of the inhuman Roman Imperium, establishing an evil consciousness condition tyranny in the place of the former Roman military tyranny, which reached its accumulation in the Inquisition, but has continued unrivaled since then, even if in a reduced form. So it started out as religion in early times, and it's kind of branched out. At least in my take on this is that what they're doing now is they're creating laws which have a good side or an alleged good side, but it's all really about taking your civil liberties away. The seatbelt laws, the no smoking in restaurants, the gun control laws, the politically correct speech, the masks being required, all milk having to be pasteurized, things like that. These are designed for you to slowly give up your freedoms, and then the new world order comes in. And they tell you things like vaccines are safe and they do not harm people. Vaccines are effective. Vaccines are improved because of intense studies. You know, almost everyone in America knows a person that has been harmed by vaccines. My wife's boss, a lawyer, took a flu shot, flu vaccine, and he ended up getting Guillain-Barré's disease. He was in a wheelchair for a while, and then he got where he could kind of walk with a cane, and after months and months went by, and but we have this new world order which is encroaching on our freedom every day. And just to give you a few things that have happened in regard to vaccines, I'll throw a few things out there. Here we go. Viruses can cause cancer by the direct damages to the DNA. Viruses can cause cancer by reducing the immune system. Viruses can disrupt the normal cell division of the body. So safety is really not the concern with these vaccines. Really, it's the speed at which they can deploy them. So here's are some of the damages that vaccines have done over the years. SV40 was in the polio vaccine. This was between 55 and 63, and then suddenly a type of cancer appeared called the simian or the monkey cancer. 1976, the swine flu vaccine, which caused the Guillain-Barré syndrome in people that got the vaccine. That's, you know, It's more than just the swine flu vaccine that the Guillain-Barré's disease is manifested from. In 1998, the hepatitis B vaccine caused multiple sclerosis in people, many people that got the vaccine. There was a meningitis vaccine between 2005 and 2008 that also caused Guillain-Barré's syndrome. Guillain-Barré's syndrome is kind of a neurological problem, too. There are a lot of third world countries that have stated that Bill Gates has caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, particularly in India. And there have been hundreds of thousands of people hurt by vaccines over the years. And one of the problems with these vaccines are what they call immortal cell lines. For example, there's a lady named Henrietta Lacks, who was a black woman at Johns Hopkins University, and she came in with a cancer and she eventually died from it. And they created an immortal cell line from her cells. And if you've gotten a vaccine, at some point you probably have some DNA of Henrietta Lacks. So the immortal cell lines are grown on a bed of cancerous cells. Cancer cells will continue to reproduce, and that is why they're called immortal cell lines. Cancer cells are bad news, of course, and we really don't want these put in our bodies. Some more things about COVID-19, and I know this is a hot button, which triggers a lot of people, and I do apologize for that. My goal is not to trigger people, but just to keep minds open to be objective and to look, you know, at all the different aspects of things. For example, Sweden did not do the lockdowns, and they've had about 200 deaths per million, and the U.S. did the lockdowns, and we've had about 150 deaths per million. Italy and Spain did the lockdowns, and they have about 400 deaths per million. So the lockdown was in some ways to keep our hospital system from being overwhelmed, but we never really got overwhelmed. Our hospitals never did. There are many countries in many states that are not busy. There are many counties in many states that are not busy. And it's to the point where a lot of the medical workers were literally being sent home. So we talk about COVID-19. We talk about coronaviruses. Coronaviruses were first discovered around 1960, and COVID-19 is in the family of the coronaviruses. The coronaviruses are typically inert. They don't really do that much damage. So the original COVID-19 was being developed at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and there was a moratorium put on that kind of research, and eventually Dr. Fauci moved the COVID-19 research to Wuhan, China, using millions of taxpayer dollars. So it's really time to wake up. There's a certain thing called the fake media, and that's the mainstream media, believe it or not, CNN and MSNBC and people like that. And the mainstream media intentionally prevents us from knowing the truth. And there's an interesting movie out there I don't know if it's still on YouTube. It's probably been taken down. It's called Out of the Shadows. And it talks about, well, what's been going on. Anyway, this PCR testing, which was used to determine if a person has COVID, is not very accurate at all. You really need a genomic sequence to determine if a person has a certain virus or not. So all of these testing modalities that they're using now are showing false positives. Even flu shots are showing up false positives. The number of deaths from the COVID-19 has been greatly exaggerated. Now, I think the Meyer information takes a totally different take on this. So I'm just trying to give you both sides so you can make your own mind up. I really don't recommend anyone, if it's at all possible, avoid these vaccines, because the vaccine for COVID-19, they stopped animal testing because all the animals they gave the vaccine to died, or very many of them. So they don't even talk about that on the mainstream media. They stopped the animal testing. That's how they've been able to just push this through. Now, a lot of people are being arrested for not wearing masks. And the virus cannot leap 10, 15, 13 feet or whatever to get to another person. The reason they use masks in surgery is because you have a surgeon that's leaning over an open wound in someone's body and he's literally inches away. So it's for moisture suppression, droplet suppression. That's what the kind of thing that they're for. I recommend everyone take a look at Dr. Rashid Buttar. He's very, very good researcher on this. Also, remember what they put in the vaccines, the MRC-5, which is aborted fetal cells. Talked about that before. We'll go over it again. Don't worry. This is the tyranny, the secret dark order that Billy talks about. They want to create a one-world government. They want to destroy national identity, destroy the middle class, destroy the family, make humanity genderless and natural sex, implant a data chip, gain all the wealth and the power in the world, control the masses through the mind control, destroy the religions, remove all rights and freedoms, merge mankind with machines, dumb down the public. They want to move people into the mega cities, restrict travel. They want the driverless cars. They want to remove all your privacy, eliminate national borders, end all industrialization. And the one thing I agree with them on is reducing the world's population. Of course, they want to do it by killing people. They're going to use soft weapons like vaccines. People are going to line up to get the shot that's going to shorten their lifetime. So what we're seeing now with the whole lockdowns is an economic reset and intentional destruction of the economic situation. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder.